Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, Brother Joseph Hedgecock, many years ago. God said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This is a message for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message on taking thoughts captive." Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for the body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Verse 26. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?" Verse 27. "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Verse 28. "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." Verse 29. "And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Verse 30. "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Verse 31. "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed?" Verse 32. "For after these things do the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things." Verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Verse 34. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." The word thought in Strong's is number 3309. It comes from another word which means to be anxious about. Behave carefully or take thought. Jesus said, "Do not put two thoughts together or process anything with your mind." Your mind belongs to God. The Holy Spirit needs to put His divine thoughts there by His grace. God can show you something you forgot or need to do in advance. In this way, you will avoid any snares or traps of the evil one. Experience His love and care for you as well. By grace, the kingdom of God has been here for nearly 2,000 years to provide by the Spirit consistently His peace for those following Christ. His instructions, His thoughts, and solutions come through the communication system. Your priority is to keep the communication line functioning and live like a first-class soldier, not like this world using their minds. You should seek, number one, an anointing on your life. That is the authorization and confirmation of what He wants done by the Spirit. Anything else without His assistance is a dead work. Number two, a righteousness by faith. in complicated situations so you do not compromise later, sin, and come out of his presence. Nothing can separate you from his love, but sin can separate you from his presence. If you lose intimacy with God, get back in his presence by humbling yourself, confessing the sin that caused you to take over the lordship. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 to 12. This is the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8. Wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In the Living Bible, Ephesians 1, 7 to 12 says, so overflowing in his kindness towards us, that he took away all our sins through the blood of his Son, by whom we are saved, and he has showered down upon us the riches of his grace. For how well he understands us and knows what is best for us at all times. God has told us his secret reason for sending Christ, a plan he decided on in mercy long ago. And this was his purpose, that when the time is ripe, he will gather us all together from wherever we are, in heaven or on earth, to be with him in Christ forever. Moreover, because of what Christ has done, we have become gifts of to God that he delights in. For as part of God's sovereign plan, we were chosen from the beginning to be his, and all things happened just as he decided long ago. God's purpose in this was that we should praise God and give glory to him for doing these mighty things for us, who were the first to trust in Christ. All your needs are met in Christ when you abide. You do not have to serve two masters. The priorities of those in and out of Christ for the sake of some earthly gain are all wrong. The church in the port of Ephesus was located on a significant trade route. They lost their love for God and their city serving two masters. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12. This is in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Those scattered in the persecution, chosen by God to spread the gospel to the Gentiles, were trying to serve two masters. You were created to serve one master and obey God. He will provide everything by being uncompromisingly righteous in every situation. James wrote in James chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. This is in the book of James chapter 3, and reading verse 13. Who is the wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Verse 15. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Overloaded with the cares of this world, some were boasting of earthly gain, and this was causing strife. Those spiritually minded in the body of Christ, maintaining humility, were being tempted to use their mind as a result. Those who are wise have the right priorities and acknowledge the Lord in all their ways, not just in one area. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 13. I'm reading verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 4, on understanding and enjoying your salvation, on pages 68 and 69, Joseph Edgecott writes, the first thing God authorizes is for you to be a baby who is nurtured by his love. Then he authorizes you to be a student at every stage from birth through the levels, grades in God's school. The Spirit will direct you as you seek his will. This process should be a way of life for Christians. You should grow up talking and listening to God as he prepares you for every good work. Hebrews 13:21. Matthew 9:29, the first part says, according to your faith, let it be to you. If you're unable to believe, you can have this kind of relationship with God. Ask him to show you the reasons your faith is hindered. Deal with those hindrances one at a time as the Holy Spirit directs. When all hindrances are removed, your faith will flow and activate God's promises. At salvation, you had the first opportunity to walk as a spiritual person, as opposed to a natural person. You began by moving into the Spirit through repentance. But you have to learn how to stay and grow up in the Spirit. These principles can be learned while you are still a baby, because being able to live in the Spirit has nothing to do with works or maturity. God wants you to remain in fellowship with him from the moment you are saved. It is part of the package of salvation that was given by grace through faith. Grace and faith enable you to move into the Spirit, and they will keep you in the Spirit as you grow up. Those with grace and faith have made Jesus Lord of all. They are yoked to Jesus. They ignore what their flesh wants. They have decided to do what God says before he even tells them what he wants them to do. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 3 to 9. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 4, and reading verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9. These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Follow Paul's recipe for God's peace. There is a war going on in the spiritual realm, but those yoked to Christ can rejoice always. If you have lost the joy and the peace of God in humble circumstances, repent. The world has nothing to offer. But the peace of God, your hearts and minds, will not be troubled if you are moderate in all things. If you start thinking about anything, you will not be able to hear God clearly. Keep a list handy of things that the Holy Spirit allows you to think about in case you are tempted to think about your own personal circumstances instead. Using your mind to think about anything other than what He has told you to think about is a misuse of your time and resources. Jesus is Lord of all. We read in Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 13. This is in the book of Jeremiah 29, I read verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13. And you shall seek me, and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. The devil is neutralizing the church through propaganda. He's easily planting thoughts in the minds of carnal believers not buried with Christ. Church people everywhere still believe a lie that by serving God on the narrow way, you will never have fun again for the rest of your life. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 8, I'm reading verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Check your fruit. The mind submitted to God is peaceful. The carnal mind is never at rest, always busy processing the cares of this world. An abundant life and godly peace is the difference between those carnally minded and spiritually minded following Christ. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The word war in Strong's is number 4754. It comes from the middle voice of another word meaning to serve in a military campaign, figuratively to execute the apostolate with its adulterous duties and functions, to contend with carnal inclinations, soldier, or go to war. The flesh is always self-seeking, so it cannot help. There is nothing more exciting and fulfilling than doing His perfect will by faith, denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. You may have humbled yourself in the past, repented, and then got frustrated doing good works when grace ran out. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. This is the book of Romans chapter 8, I'm reading verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Repent of looking after yourself. Life does not come from serving your own interests. Only God knows what you really need. Through being born again, you were made in the likeness of Christ. Let God take the initiative and learn spiritually. We read in the book of Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 13. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, I'm reading verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Verse 11. so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Verse 13. Instead of thorns shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Those not yoked to Jesus are wicked because they have not made Jesus Lord. The wicked were told to forsake their thoughts. This was for their safety. The carnal mind makes wrong choices. Deny yourself consistently. Hear his thoughts. And seek him with all your heart, not your mind. In the Living Bible, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3 says, it is true that I am an ordinary, weak human being, but I don't use human plans and methods to win my battles. Your plans will cause you to miss God's timing and procrastinate. What you think you know will hinder you from knowing what you need to know now. The battle belongs to the Lord. He has the strategy in warfare and knows what the devil is doing. Paul, as a servant of the Lord, was not fighting God's battles for him, but as God's representative, fighting to do things God's way. We read in Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 to 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm reading verses 20 to verse 30. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Verse 22. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Verse 24. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Verse 26. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus was speaking about powerful cities that would be judged based on their unwillingness to change and repent. These were not uneducated places either. With your mind, you will hinder true knowledge and understanding. However, yoked to Christ, you'll be able to know the Father because he would reveal him to you. Jesus then explained that his yoke is easy and his burden is light for those who choose to submit to him this way. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 6. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The word imagination in Strong's is number 3053. It comes from another word which means computation, that is figuratively reasoning, conscience, conceit, imagination or thought. The word thought in Strong's is number 3540. It comes from another word which means a perception, that is purpose or by implication the intellect, disposition itself, the device, mind or thought. Your mind should not be computing or reasoning anything. Your mind does not have all the information. Take imaginations captive, or you will end up on a way that seems right, or making judgments that are wrong. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. This is in the book of Romans chapter 1, I'm reading verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. In the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, revised edition in chapter 8, on daily growth and fellowship, on pages 91 to 92, Joseph Hedgecott writes, there are three voices you can hear in your spirit, God, the devil, and yourself. As you begin to break the habits of the flesh and walk in obedience to God, eventually you will close the door to the voices of the enemy and your flesh. In the beginning of this walk, the three voices may seem equally strong. Therefore, it's important to respond appropriately to each voice you may hear. When God speaks, obey him. When the devil speaks, resist him. When self speaks, deny yourself. Most Christians recognize the devil's voice and know how to rebuke him. The problem in most believers is the strength of their personal opinions. Personal desires and agendas always speak from the carnal nature. Many times, a believer's preferences may even appear to be spiritual. However, as I have said many times before, anything that originates from self is sin. If you really want to hear the Lord's voice clearly, you must be willing to lay down your personal desires. If you're obeying out of fear rather than love, you may think you've done your duty for the day and give in to the voice of your personal desires. If you do that, you have moved into the carnal nature again. I am not saying you shouldn't enjoy doing things you like to do, but you do need to ask God what he wants you to do. Most of the time, if something you desire is not harmful or contrary to God's will and his word, he will give you liberty to do what you have asked. However, if you come to God with the attitude of trying to persuade him to let you do something that feeds the lust of your flesh, you are already in the flesh. The answer you hear that gives you permission to fulfill your fleshly preferences is not from God. This is why it's crucial to deny yourself in every area of your life. Whenever you come before God, you must put aside your opinions. When the opinions of your flesh are controlling your thoughts and desires, you are not in the Spirit. You are in the flesh, and you will activate your own voice from your flesh or open the door for Satan to imitate God's voice. It's imperative that you continually resist the devil and deny your flesh any opinions. This is an important part of humbling yourself before God. As you submit your heart to God, you will hear him speak and other voices will lose their power. Your mind is a device for God to put thoughts there to direct your life. The voice of God comes through your spirit and appears as a thought in your mind. You have to make the effort to listen, trust, and obey. The devil can get access again to those who just rebuke him and do not submit to God. Kill the flesh, because it will not submit to God. In areas where you have personal opinions, you are not submitted to God. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 28, verses 25 and 26. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 28. I'm reading verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Verse 26. And he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walks wisely, he shall be delivered. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Proverbs 28:25-26 says, he who is of a greedy spirit stirs up strife, but he who puts his trust in the Lord shall be enriched and blessed. And he who leans on, trusts in, and is confident of his own mind and heart is a self-confident fool. But he who walks in skillful and godly wisdom shall be delivered. All the knowledge you need to follow Christ is available by grace through faith. When the peace of God is troubled, those who are spiritual fear God, stop, and ask more questions without consulting their mind. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. This is 1 John chapter 5, I'm reading verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in the introduction, on pages 4 and 5, Joseph Hedgecott writes, the way God taught me to test my conclusions involved the entire Godhead. I share about this in detail in the booklet, Three Infallible Witnesses. I strongly suggest you study this booklet and apply its revelations to your daily walk with God. You need to practice these principles until they work consistently and accurately. The three witnesses are, number one, the rightly divided Word of God, Jesus, John 1, verse 1, 2 Timothy 2, and verse 15. Number two, the witness of the Holy Spirit, 1 John chapter 5, and verse 6, the second part. Number 3, the peace of God, the Father, that passes all understanding, Philippians 4, verses 6 to 8, Colossians 3, and verse 15. Practice using these three witnesses to correctly test what you believe. It takes time and adjustments in your thinking for this to become a consistent practice. If you want to be a spiritual Christian and come to maturity, then you must make these changes. It's not enough to have knowledge of how to test conclusions properly. You must be a doer of the word. If you hear the truth but do not do it, you deceive yourself. Look carefully into how much grace and peace you have in your life. The best plan daily is to deny yourself and submit to his instructions and directions daily, and get godly wisdom by staying humble even when others are proud and stirring up strife. James wrote in James chapter 3, verses 16 to verse 18. This is James chapter 3, I'm reading verse 16. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18. And the peace of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Those serving two masters invite the devil to bring strife, confusion, and do every evil work. The wisdom of God based on grace, truth, and repentance brings peace every time. Paul trusted God in complicated situations and gained wisdom he needed for important spiritual tasks. Anxious thoughts will appear otherwise. If you live in the Spirit and have been denying yourself, you will have godly wisdom. Earthly wisdom just covers over the cracks of a life not submitted to God. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. The word ambassador in Strong's is number 4243. It comes from the base of another word to be a senior. That is, by implication, act as a representative, figuratively a preacher or an ambassador. Now, Webster in 1828 defined an ambassador as a minister of the highest rank employed by one prince or state at the court of another, to manage the public concerns of his own prince or state, and representing the power and dignity of his sovereign. Ambassadors are ordinary when they reside permanently at a foreign court, or extraordinary when they are sent on a special occasion. They are also called ministers. Envoys are ministers employed on special occasions and of a less dignity. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 2 Corinthians 5, 20-21 says, So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's person representative, beg you, for his sake, to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you, and be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be approved and acceptable in right relationship with him by his goodness. Ambassadors for Christ are completely submitted to Christ and do not speak on their own authority. Any personal thoughts and opinions are kept out of the way. Paul was begging the Corinthians to be reconciled to God, or they would never become the righteous of God in the same way he was. With grace and mercy, you can be an ambassador too, by abiding in Christ and getting rid of your opinions. Jesus said in Luke 12, verses 10 to 12. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, I'm reading verse 10. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. Verse 11. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing you shall answer, or what you shall say. Verse 12. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Everyone will recognize what God's representative are saying through the conviction of the Holy Spirit they experience. If you speak based on your own thoughts and opinions, then this will not happen. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 3 to 6. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 15, starting in verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In the book, Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 4, on Understanding and Enjoying Your Salvation, on pages 69 and 70, Joseph Hedgecock writes, all you have to do is listen and obey. Everything else is his responsibility. Stop helping God. If your spiritual life is not working, you are helping in some way. Remember this quote from Arthur Burt in Pebbles to Slay Goliath. If you help God a lot, he can do a little. If you only help him a little, he can do a lot. But if you don't help him at all, he can do anything. Let go and let God. When you do good works or obey the truths you receive from God in your spiritualized flesh, you are trying to help him. Your good works may look spiritual, but they will not produce intimacy with God. You should be doing good works because you have a relationship with him. You do the works he directs because you love him, not to get something from him. All of mankind was created in the image of God to represent him. If you are a new creation in Christ, you have a mandate to represent the kingdom of heaven before time runs out. Start by following Christ yourself. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 18 to 20. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, and read verse 18. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Verse 20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. As God's representative, expect thoughts to appear in your head from God by grace as you are speaking and sharing your testimony with others. God is the one who knows what to say and how to say it. We read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, verses 21 to 23. This is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, I'm reading verse 21. But the pastors are become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Verse 22. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate in a den of dragons. Verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. There is a counterfeit version of Christianity today. Leaders with academic qualifications just call Jesus Lord, but do not ask God everything. They speak from their own authority, using their minds, and this is hypocritical. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to verse 25. I'm reading the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, starting in verse 14. Though we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, making increase of the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over into lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. Verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 25, Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. The thoughts of those who walk in the flesh are vain. Check your fruit. Carnal minds of the church leaders are actually filled with bits of knowledge used to keep the flesh comfortable serving two masters. If you're a disciple, everything you have learned should have come from taking up your cross daily. Only God knows the real person you're called to be. Do not listen to your own feelings and emotions, as these will deceive you. Save your soul by submitting to God. Jesus said in John 5:30, this is John's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 1 on spiritual maturity, on page 8, Joseph Hedgecott writes, this scripture is the foundation for living a spiritually mature life. When you seek the Father's will rather than your own, you cannot keep from being spiritual. You do not consult your will or personal preferences. In the Amplified Bible, John 5:30 says, I'm able to do nothing from myself, independently of my own accord, but only as I'm taught by God and as I get His orders. Even as I hear, I judge. I decide as I'm bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision, and my judgment is right, just, righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. Very few really understand how Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave, without ever sinning, because they do not want to ask God everything. Jesus was tempted in every way like us, but never used his divine nature. He acknowledged God in everything to overcome, and you can do the same. A weak foundation cannot handle temptation and will compromise. The church at the center of the Roman Empire was not growing spiritually. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, this is in the book of Romans, chapter 13, I'm reading verse 11. And that knowing that the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lusts thereof. When you put on Christ, you are supposed to put on his mind too. The mind of Christ is a gift available in the package of salvation, not just for a few special men and women of God with a high calling on their lives. You need the mind of Christ to abide and follow Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The word mind in Strong's is number 3563. Probably from the base of another word meaning the intellect, that is mind, divine or human in thought, feeling or will, by implication, meaning the mind or understanding. The most foolish thing you will ever see is someone giving God instructions on how to do anything. Paul had the same mind as Christ, described in John 5:30, because he was humble. Those using their minds become prisoners by not denying themselves consistently. Disappointments and sorrows follow. The devil has to keep carnal Christians comfortable in this world so they do not wake up and see the eternal consequences of serving two masters. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, This is 2 Corinthians chapter 7, reading verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. Verse 10. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. The Corinthians repented. They were not hurt by Paul's tough letters. They came to their right mind through repentance and stopped making excuses for the flesh. The message of Joseph Edgecott was a lifeline for me. I began to dig deeper and expose priorities that were all wrong after hearing the truth. Joseph shared with me the keys for a two-way love relationship with God by obeying the commands of Christ. Jesus said in John 14, verses 15 and 16, this is John's Gospel, chapter 14, I'm reading verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. After a deep breaking, I needed a Comforter that would not deceive me again. I deceived myself with vain ministry works for the sake of my flesh. Joseph Edgecott got revelation about expressing love through his commands directly, so he could not miss it. He got this revelation in response to seeking God with all his heart. Later he found the verse in the Gospel of John. I had a knowledge of the scriptures, but it was all vain. I read about keeping his commandments too, but I just kept reading because Jesus' commands did not appeal to my flesh. I could only understand with my mind those things that agree with messages in spiritualized flesh before I met Joseph Edgecott. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 4. This is Matthew chapter 7. I'm reading verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. Verse 2. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? For more information in making judgments, please read chapter 11 on making judgments in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Edgecott. You reap what you sow. God gave me the command not to judge because he knew I needed grace and mercy to be the righteousness of God in Christ. When I started seeking his commands personally for my life, I made excuses and kept using natural discernment. You have to use your mind to judge someone else or discern. And this had become a habit in me. Others I knew were doing it too, and that didn't help. Whenever I made a judgment, I lost my joy and peace. It seemed a difficult command to obey. I had thoughts his command was unfair and the wrong place to start. I felt helpless, but I remember Joseph testimony how God can read your thoughts, and this helped me to take them captive. I also did not judge God's ways as foolish after hearing Joseph Edgecott's testimony. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. This is the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading verse 6. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I had to take thoughts captive. Believe in my heart that God is not corrupt and he is in control. 6 months later, after loving my wife, loving people in the church, and others God sent, I saw the root reason. Judging and criticizing comes from a deficiency in God's love. I need an abundance of love to stop judging. I did not know that at the time. I followed the same pattern Joseph Edgecott described in the book How Love Grows. When I could love my enemies, thoughts of judging God and others began to fade. I took a long time to get this revelation, because I was using my mind to understand. I did not see his commands, correction, and conviction as a blessing until I saw the fruit of repentance. Jesus gave this teaching in Luke chapter 6, verse 31, and reading to verse 38. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and reading verse 31. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Verse 32. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Verse 33. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Verse 34. And if you lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain. Verse 35. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and unto the evil. Verse 36. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Verse 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet with it shall be measured to you again. If you're born again and only love those who love you, then you are still a baby. To become children of God, you need to love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. To get offended or take anything personally, you have to get in the flesh. I can testify a lot had to change in me before I could open my heart easily and love all those that I was sent to on God's mission. In the Living Bible, 2 Corinthians 10:4-6 says, I use God's mighty weapons, not those made by men, to knock down the devil's strongholds. These weapons can break down every proud argument against God and every wall that can be built to keep men from finding him. With these weapons, I can capture rebels and bring them back to God and change them into men whose hearts desire his obedience to Christ. I will use these weapons against every rebel who remains after I have first used them on you, yourselves, and you surrender to Christ. Paul had received powerful weapons living on the narrow, opening his heart in love to reach those trapped in sin. He had proved those weapons work first in complicated situations, serving the Lord. Paul had to use the same powerful tools on the carnal Corinthians because of the excuses they were making for the sake of their flesh. You'll be given powerful tools to do your job too if you surrender to Christ. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith according as is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The Corinthians only had life because of the lessons Paul learned on the narrow way. He refused financial support from the Corinthians to stop them boasting. He learned from experience how everything worked to his good by sowing in the Spirit out of love. The Corinthians, focusing on the gifts of the Spirit, used the same operating system as Paul, but had different results. Both had learned to speak as they heard. You may know a lot of things in your mind, but only revelation you know in your heart works. What you do under pressure is what you believe in your heart. Paul was seeking righteousness, even in life and death-threatening circumstances. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm reading verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul, as the chief of sinners, knew he was behind the rest of the apostles and was ready for some intense training to catch up. If you're out of shape spiritually, you will experience something similar if you want to catch up. If you only ask God in some areas of your life, you will remain childish. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. This is Proverbs chapter 3, and reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Faith does not wear out when you ask God everything. Faith not used consistently becomes weak, like physical muscles. They go to sleep, shrink, and cause problems. The Corinthians were only hearing and speaking what they heard in ministry, but not learning through conviction in everyday issues. Churches struggling to depart from evil today see no value in being accountable to somebody living on the narrow way. They accept academic qualifications because they prefer darkness rather than the light, and have a confidence in the flesh themselves. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in chapter 1, Who Are You? On pages 15 and 16, Joseph Edgecott writes, when you are wise and obey what God says, godly fruit begins to manifest. Changes first take place in your attitude towards the Lord. The way you think changes. This is part of the process of allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work in you. He changes what you believe, think, and how you act to agree with the Word of God. Typically, those who function from the natural realm begin with a conclusion they believe is the truth. If they find clear scriptures that contradict their belief, their reasoning rejects them. They adjust what the Word of God says to agree with what they have already chosen to believe. This deception is rampant in the church today. Preconceived notions of what is true would deceive you every time. It is the Holy Spirit's job to tell you the truth. You are required to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Your natural mind cannot and never will be able to rightly divide the truth. Truth is revealed and confirmed by the Spirit of God. Everything you believe should be confirmed by the Spirit before you release your faith into it. Remember, what you think you know hinders you from knowing what God wants you to know. Those studying what God reveals to them through conviction will not be ashamed. Sin can be removed by getting to the root issue through repentance with God's help. You should keep a record of anything that has been identified for repentance through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 7. This is 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 7. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ's, even so are we Christ's. Paul was given godly solutions to help those with a heart after God who needed repentance and salvation. In complicated situations, you need to hear the truth consistently under any amount of pressure. those who really have truth, remove through repentance what they are holding on to in this world before they help others that are deceiving themselves with limited knowledge and outward righteousness. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. This is in the book of Romans chapter 5, I'm reading verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Verse 4. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. Your physical muscles, like faith, were created to respond instantly. When you obey God perfectly in any situation without thinking, your faith is alive. Faith not used to do God's perfect will is dead or misdirected. Paul had to be an example of not serving two masters by hearing and obeying God in big and small things. Paul's needs were met because he was seeking righteousness and God's perfect will by faith. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 3. If so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Verse 8. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. The church that has tasted the goodness of God needs to grow up and establish a solid spiritual foundation through conviction. The moment you stop trusting God, you also take over the Lordship and do dead works again. In the Amplified Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be eager and do your utmost to present yourselves to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Whether you are carnal or spiritual, what you believe goes from your head to your heart when you believe it's right. You need to be sure what you accept is the rightly divided word of truth before you release your faith. If you use your mind trying to come to truth, you will destroy any good that has been done when you are in the Spirit. By processing revelation with your mind, you hinder or deactivate your own faith. Only faith released into the truth is not misdirected. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 8, I'm reading verse 2. And if any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Verse 3. For if any man love God, the same is known of him. Those following Christ get an understanding by looking how God responds to their faith in his instructions under pressure. If you do something and he responds instantly to assist you, that is a confirmation you are known of him. Those who wait to righteousness obey instantly. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm reading verse 34. awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I suggest you get up early before your day starts and listen to God. Make sure you are in the Spirit and make any changes based on what God is showing you. Use a notebook to seek God. The knowledge of God will include conviction, so you can remove the accesses of the evil one if you have ears to hear. The devil can easily control those who are separated from God through sin. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reading verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. Verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Those seeking righteousness will open the eyes of those blinded by the god of this world, serving their own interests. Paul's gospel was reaching those serving the devil unawares and bringing conviction everywhere. He explained how to enter the kingdom of heaven and how it's necessary to hear, trust, and obey. After listening to Paul, only those perishing did not have ears to hear. Paul's gospel was not a salvation-only message, like it often is today. He was preaching the functional lordship of Jesus Christ with examples from his own life. Paul wrote this testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in chapter 13, on questions and answers to help you, on page 202, Joseph Hedgecott writes, if you are not in the Spirit, but try to build proper spiritual foundations, you will never succeed. This work must be done in the Spirit. It cannot be done in spiritualized flesh. The devil always has access to you if you're in the flesh. He will supply unlimited ways that seem right to bring confusion and lead you in the wrong direction. He's the master of misdirection. He will lead you in ways that appear to be truth, but are actually lies. This is why every thought must be brought captive to Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5, and confirmed by the word, the witness of the Spirit, and the peace of God. In the Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 6 says, the world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience under maturity. The Lordship of Jesus Christ is the most difficult message to preach in a comfortable church. You will not stay on the narrow way or take thoughts captive if you have not accepted His right in your heart for Him to be Lord of your life through creation and redemption. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Verse 4. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time, and to the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Paul had to be faithful and pass tests under trial without sinning to inherit the mysteries he was given. People want knowledge today without being faithful under trial. Godly wisdom comes from making no excuses for sin in complicated situations. The Corinthians had learned some lessons, but not the most important ones. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 15 to 17. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Verse 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Timothy was sent to explain how Paul lived his life without ever getting in the flesh, and taking matters into his own hands, so the Corinthians could follow his example. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, I'm reading verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Verse 23. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There is no protection against burglars, moth, or rust just because you're born again. Those following Jesus' teachings do not have savings to turn to when a sudden difficulty occurs. Putting money aside for a rainy day is releasing your faith for more rain when you should be living in the sunshine. God will tell you if you need to put something aside and its purpose ahead of time. Make sure everything you have is for Him to use in whatever way He decides. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. This is the book of Ephesians chapter 3, and read verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. You will never understand the things of God using the mind. Everything now belongs to God, and he can give something if you are humble. Make sure you keep your selfish thoughts and imaginations under control. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6 says, "For though we walk, live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh, and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they're mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, being in readiness to punish every insubordinate for his disobedience, when your own submission and obedience as a church are fully secured and complete. Truth delivered in love is the most powerful weapon you possess. You cannot use this until you have set yourself completely free and deeply repented to the root issues controlling you. Conviction is a blessing." Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22, I'm reading to verse 25. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading verse 22. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Verse 24. "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falleth away." Verse 25. "But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." The gospel is founded on God's infallible word. Your new life in the kingdom started with truth and conviction, delivered in love through the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not remove the devil or kick out the Romans to establish the kingdom of God on earth when he came the first time. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 to 13. This is Hebrews chapter 4, I'm reading verse 9. "There remains therefore a rest to the people of God." Verse 10. "For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." Verse 11. "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Verse 13. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." The devil is not the problem. The devil can only control you through the lust of the flesh. Those who deny themselves, listen, trust, and obey will have access to all the resources of the kingdom of God by faith. We read in Psalms 46, verses 8 to 11. This is in the Psalms. I'm reading chapter 46, starting in verse 8. "Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth." Verse 9. "He makes wars to cease, and to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 8, on First Love, on pages 110 to 111, Joseph Hitchcock writes, in the hectic world we live in, we are comfortable being busy and doing as much as possible in an allotted amount of time. Carrying this mentality into your relationship with God will only cause frustration. You must practice being still before Him. It may take a few minutes to calm your mind, but it's well worth the effort. Ask the Lord to calm you as you bring every thought under His control. It's important to pray a covering over yourself as you come before the Lord. The devil loves to fill your mind with things you think you should be doing or other distraction to keep you from focusing your thoughts on the Lord. You must learn how to be still before God as you practice this. You will learn how to be quiet and restful in your spirit, even when you are busy doing what the Lord has told you to do. Do not try to impress God. Let Him take the initiative. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hitchcock. If you want to make a fresh start, make Him Lord, and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path. The broad road leads to destruction, looks good, and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hitchcock. Today I've been sharing with you about taking thoughts captive. God knows best. He loves you. And for you to really do this, you need to know He loves you. And I'm praying for you right now that you will embrace His love and experience His love in a personal, intimate way. Father, I just pray right now for everyone listening to this message. They will be transformed by it. They will study the Scriptures, and it will make a difference in their life, in Jesus' name. You can find a summary of the Scriptures used in today's message below this video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you, and thank you for listening.